Wheelhouse. Wheelhouse Radio.
Are we recording?
We should be.
Yeah. We're recording, right? Because there's a red button.
Yep. And
here's the thing. I don't do anything cool. You know? I don't have nothing. Any, like, I don't think so.
Like it Morgan is. Freeman, but okay.
I hope you're recording.
You just grabbed a girl and just, like, in a Turkish, to get up.
I didn't just grab her. I just, like, went up to her and was like, hey, I need a favor.
Happy Friday, folks. That, if you were wondering, that music, that intro music was being played live by the MoveWell team. I had Dakota on the air drums.
Yeah, I was shredding it.
Sure, yeah. I had Jamie.
Hello.
No. Kaylee and Aaron here. So, guys, I reached out to the team because I thought it'd be a good idea to get the team together because the three of you guys service the Wheelhouse members, but also members from other communities as well. They kind of come in here, and I just thought it'd be great to not only do a recap, because it's been several months since we talked about MoveWell initially, and since then, Aaron, you've brought on a team of yourself and three others, right? And two of them are here with us that we see most often here with Dakota and Kaylee. But thought it'd be a good chance to just sort of recap where we are, where MoveWell is, how it's been going, just treating our demographic in this model, and really dive into some pretty common things, right? Some common things. So we want to bring value to this episode. And I think someone listening would be curious about, you know, when I should apply some therapy, whether it's, you know, post-injury, or maybe there are some, like, things that could be due to prevent injury, right? And then how hard do I push? I think we had a viewer question about that. But I just thought there was be just tons of value that we could have you guys in here, just lead the conversation, have a little fun on a Friday, and thought it'd make a great episode. At least that's me selling it.
Yeah.
Love it. Catch us up on all things MoveWell, Aaron, since you've last been in.
Gosh, when was that? That was a year and some change.
I'm going to look it up right now because I'm curious also. So while you're catching us up.
Yeah, I know we were in year one. So since then, we've added a few people to our team. So there's four PTs, and now we have a nutrition coach working with us as well. In terms of kind of the direction we're heading, you know, I think you can recall last year, we're in a bunch of different gyms.
Right.
And what, like, we've done.
Eight,
yeah.
Right.
Well, at maybe one point more. It was 11.
Okay.
11.
Wow. Yeah.
So spread pretty thin.
Mile wide.
Yeah. Right. So what we've decided to do is really pour into those few gyms that, you know, have the culture that we're looking for, and where we can integrate our people into that community. So we found the right people to basically become part of the gym family. Dakota, of course, here at Wheelhouse. And even Kaylee to that respect, but Kaylee's doing a lot of work with Battle Republic. Mm-hmm. So really giving these gyms their point person and putting the right people in the right places. So Jeffrey is not here with us today, but he's over at Nexus. Mm-hmm. So he's done a fantastic job over there. So we have an awesome team that really pours into these various communities, especially here at Wheelhouse.
Yeah, shout out to Battle Republic and Nexus Community. If you're listening, hey, how's it going? Aaron, that was episode 9, recorded on June of 21.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a minute.
So, a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, June 4th.
A lot has happened.
Let's see. Kaylee, introduce yourself. Like, tell the world all about you, because I think it would be a great chance to do that, too.
Yeah, so I'm loving being with MoveWell. I've been, like they said, at Wheelhouse and Battle mostly. And I've been in Birmingham almost 13 years on and off.
Yeah.
I went to Samford for undergrad, played soccer there. That's what brought me to Birmingham from Louisiana. And then worked a lot of different jobs, traveled a lot for about 5 years, and then went back to PT school at Samford.
Yeah.
And then stuck around to work as a PT here in Birmingham.
What part of Louisiana?
Mandeville.
Mandeville.
North of New Orleans, yeah.
So is that what brought you to Birmingham? Was it schooling?
Mm-hmm.
Was it just to kind of pursue that?
Soccer, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And you landed at Samford. How did you guys connect?
Yeah, so that goes back to my first job as a PT.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we met shortly before then.
Yeah.
Through mutual friends,
yeah.
Right? But then we ended up at the same employer. So I was a PT. She was a personal trainer. So yeah, it was kind of random how we reconnected that way. And so we kind of kept in touch here and there. Then found out you were going to PT school and going that route. So when she graduated, I kind of put the bug out or put a bug in her ear. I was like, you know, this is kind of what we got going. I think you'd be a great fit. And from there, I mean, she took a job with another company, really to get experience, which sure. I completely understood.
Yeah.
Was only a little bit bitter about it.
She was like really your first recruit that you were.
I would say in terms of people that I talked to about joining, she was probably the first one. Yeah.
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 I gotcha.
I wasn't ready.
Did you think he was like crazy with this idea or did you think awesome, but I'm not ready?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Like, this sounds like a dream, but I just need to learn a little bit more first.
It's really a really cool, scenario. You know, I was thinking if I was a PT, I would want to be working in exactly the type of environment you guys are doing. What do you think, Dakota?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked as a new grad for your traditional outpatient PT. I did it for 6 months before starting my sports residency. That 6 months, I thought I knew a lot, just being an athletic training background and being around the workout world and thinking I knew a good bit about rehab and therapy. And the residency was a quick realization. I didn't know anything about anything.
Mm.
So that was nice. And then that barrage of information and then being able to apply that and then moving here to Birmingham. I worked as an outpatient clinical director for about 9 months before talking to Aaron. Shot him a message. I was like, hey, can we meet up for a coffee and discuss kind of how we could help each other? Because I know he was doing cash-based and we were doing more insurance-based therapy. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that I could start referring him patients and then say somebody was injured severely and they needed more of the traditional type insurance-based PT that he could refer to me.
Sure.
And then that turned into me leaving my job. So that was a good
thing. Well, kudos to you for starting that conversation. Yeah, and that was worth a cup of coffee.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know for you, I mean, because we're involved as well, creating a hybrid for you. It's been a year, right? It's maybe a little over.
Year to month.
A little over. Well, heck yeah, guys. Well, let's see. Where do we start? I mean, I guess I could ask the very broad question of, now that you've been in this role, capacity, dealing with our specific type of people, what have you, I guess, learned the most? Like, what dots are you starting to connect? Maybe that's it.
Yeah, and that's kind of a loaded question.
I know. It's too broad.
All these are going to be loaded questions. Yeah,
that's right.
But just like anything, you start to notice patterns and how important certain aspects are.
Right.
And that changes from your traditional PT world when you're actually in the gym with people and seeing them when they're putting their body at their or straining their body at their most, right? So really emphasizing movement prep and catching things before they get bad. I think that's our unique opportunity. In a typical PT model, you get someone right after an injury, right? They're in rehab mode most of the time.
Right.
So we kind of have a unique opportunity to catch that before it starts, which is much more effective for that individual. So, that's our main goal is to be that resource for people to just bounce questions off of on the front end. So they don't get into that position where they're, you know, they can't work out for the next 4 weeks.
Yeah. I can't tell you how valuable I believe it is knowing that there's a team of PTs that I can lean on if I need to, but they're also very, what's the word I'm trying to say? Like, it's very reachable. Like, I'm not having to call a company and talk to someone I don't know, someone I don't have a relationship with. And it's refreshing to know that you guys are PTs that aren't anti-fitness, right? So you're not, and that's a fear as a gym owner for me is like, oh, you hurt your shoulder snatching, that you're going to go see a doctor therapist who says, well, I guess you never need to snatch again. Right. Whereas you guys are like, hey, why did it hurt snatching? And let's make sure to shore you up to get you back to where you were and then better than where you were, because obviously we needed to be better, whether it's a mobility, strength, and all those things. And then let's do it so that you can be snatching again safer.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where I just think, you know, it's invaluable.
Well, and not that doctors are wrong, but surgeons do surgery.
Or correct, yeah.
And they want to do their craft.
Correct.
You know, they, if someone comes to them, they're injured, they think that surgery will help. And sometimes that's right. You know, sometimes that is the approach. But if you look at how the how we reach the population, it's quicker access. So there's a lot less holes to jump through. If you go to your primary care and they're like, hey, you hurt your shoulder overhead, let's put you in a sling for a week while you wait to go to a orthopedic specialist. And then you have to wait for another week before you can go to PT. And now you have orders on someone while you're waiting for MRI, in which point they are inevitably going to say it's the worst they've ever seen. Which, if you took an MRI of everybody in this room, we would there would probably be 20 things we need to worry about, whether it's rotator cuff tears or meniscus tears or herniated disc. Like, something is going to be involved with all four of us. And then, but none of us are showing symptoms. Mm-hmm. So let's treat symptoms. Let's make sure we, like Aaron said, getting access to the individual early and preventing those poor movement patterns and giving them hope. You know, the last thing you want to do is fearmonger somebody into they can't come back to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, and or they should just pick up walking.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite thing. Like, have you tried walking? Like, no, I can't walk.
And walking is good for you.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be your sole method of exercise.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Grocery shopping and your exercise should be slightly different. Right. Like, you shouldn't be the same stress level.
I always used to say, man, if walking is going to get you in shape, then mailmen would be the most fit people.
Oh,
in
absolutely.
The world.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong. Well, how are you guys starting to see more trends of like people being preventative versus just coming to you when there's an injury?
Sure. Yeah. Actually.
And how do you drive that point home? Right.
Yeah. That's the tough part is because people in our nature, we're kind of reactive.
Yeah.
I mean, but I've just found, and I'm sure y'all can say the same, is word of mouth is a strong, really powerful thing. So sure. I'd say probably half of our clientele at this point, they're on like a maintenance or prevention regimen.
Right.
You know, I have people that I've seen almost every week or biweekly just to keep things going. It's much easier to keep that ball rolling than to come to a hard stop and get that momentum again. So I urge people, I mean, everybody to go that route, right? Let's optimize movement. Let's work on quality of movement and getting as strong as we possibly can so we don't have to come to that hard stop. So I think we're kind of at the forefront of that in our field because other people don't have that opportunity.
Right.
You're waiting for doctor's referrals.
Right.
We're actually in that setting where it is so important to address things on the front end, like I said before, and just prevent things from going south. Instead of waiting to go see that doctor and then get that surgical consult and then go to PT, it's much more effective and efficient just to handle it on the front end.
That's such a good point because being on the front end of like that, because now that I think about it, in the other, I guess, setup and situation, your traditional PT, I would imagine it's mainly post-surgery. Or sometimes, or probably a lot of times, it's like I am finally coming to you because the pain's too great and it's something that it's chronic forever.
Right. Yeah. And with that, too, most of those people are coming from a doctor's referral, if not almost mm-hmm. all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has to be deemed medically necessary for the most part.
Gosh,
in the insurance world.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why you have people coming with these injuries and you know, post-op patients. Because they actually have an issue that the doctor's deeming medically necessary so that you can bill insurance. You're not getting someone that's like, hey, I'm just feeling a little stiff in this snatch. I'm starting to feel a little catch in my shoulder. You know, what that doctor's going to do, you know, probably give you some NSAIDs, probably anti-inflammatories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if it's bad enough, give you a shot and just say, hey, lay off for a few days.
Right.
Well, did you address the origin of the issue, the root of the issue?
Right.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
You mask the symptoms long enough. So when you get back to the gym, it's just going to stir right back up. So our job is to really get to the root of the problem. Yeah.
And did you know that creating MoveWell, was that something that kind of came about?
I knew it was a need. Just in PT school, they always talk about preventative medicine, but mm-hmm. and just preventative measures, but no one's really doing it. No one's talking about it.
In school, they talk about everything and everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're teaching you such a baseline knowledge, like, throughout the whole process. You have to know how to walk a patient in the hospital. You have to know how to look at, like,
wound
vital
care.
Wound care, vital signs. Like, all of these things that are non-specific towards whatever field you pick. Like, they get right. you good enough to not hurt anybody, but they don't really teach you how to be really good at getting someone better. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of things, but you're not going to be good at any of it until yeah. you practice.
Yeah. This has been a really unique scenario, I think. Absolutely. That you guys got going on here. What was my next question I was going to ask? I came with tons of questions. It was probably for Kaylee.
Yeah, a direct nice. Question for Kaylee. I think that's what this podcast is for.
Kaylee, what? She's just over here smiling. She's just like, do you guys feel that, are there common injuries that are coming up that are, what was that?
Headbutted the mic.
Did you headbutt the mic?
No, it wasn't me.
Was that your face?
Check the channel.
Key.
Now I've lost my train of thought. Yeah. The caboose is gone. What was I saying?
You got like 3 words in. It wasn't very far into the thought.
I know. I think I was still kind of curating my thoughts whenever I was saying that. Well, okay. So what about the type of injuries that you're seeing most often?
That's a good one. You know, low back pain and tightness is always one. Mainly because people go from, you know, their work demands to their workout demands. And there's, and I think we talked about this on the first.
The spectrum.
Yeah, two ends of the spectrum. So the spine is pretty vulnerable as it is, especially when you're dealing with a barbell. If you're not, how do I say this? If you're not efficient with the barbell, mm-hmm. I mean, even with great coaching, mm-hmm. when you're sitting 6 to 8 hours a day and then you follow that with a loaded barbell, things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of the beast, right? So that's between the coaches and us, we can help educate people on quality movement prep and also the in-betweens, right? The in-between the workouts. What do you need to do maintenance-wise to make sure your low back is ready for the demands these workouts are placing on them?
Dude, yeah. Yeah, that hits home too, because you're going from 0 to 100
mm-hmm.
literally within 10 minutes. You got through checking your last email, and then you get up, grab your keys, and you drive here.
Sure.
And then, yeah, we warm you up, but that warm-up is a slow ramp-up, and it's almost like that saying, you can't outwork a bad diet. You can't. In this way, at work, like bad movement
diet.
Yeah.
I use that term all the time. Like, what is your movement diet like outside of your workout?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Are you lacking, you know, certain body positions?
Right.
You think about where people are spending most of their time. It's in this hip flexed position,
sure.
probably not the best posture, depending on your work environment. So most of your movement diet consists of just hip flexion over a computer. And then you're asking your spine to extend, you know, with a kipping pull-up.
With force
asking,
and,
If you look at traditional jobs and traditional hobbies, like how often do you have to reach all the way overhead and then pull?
Yeah.
Like, unless you're doing a pull-up, 99% of people never have to do that movement pattern. And then, especially in this type of field where it is CrossFit-esque and functional fitness, pull-ups are a high demand of a position.
Yeah.
I also had somewhere else I was going with that. I totally forgot.
But going back to common issues we see, that's a big part of it, because most people, we see patterns. We see a lot of the same issues because most people spend their day in the same positions.
Yeah.
So if you're in a hip flex position and your arms are in front of your body, whether you're typing or on your cell phone, your shoulders are always protracted.
Mm-hmm.
Your shoulders are always internally rotated.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of these workouts, we have to have that extra rotation to clear that shoulder overhead, which is why we see a ton of shoulder impingement. A ton of long head of the biceps, like tendinopathy, which is just a fancy name for, you know, some breakdown of that tendon. So there's a reason why we see a few issues all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the lack of bridging the gap from that work environment to your workout environment.
And from the coaching aspect, I can only coach you so much, right?
Oh,
it's
sure.
just like I have, let's say I had even a full solid hour to coach. It's I can't outwork the tightness and tautness or lack of movement that you've been doing the other 23 hours in the day.
Exactly.
And just like I cannot work a bad movement diet. I love it.
It's 1 hour of your day. And the other 23 determines your posture. But the big thing is being specific too. Like if you took, again, the four of us, but our classes here at Wheelhouse, they're going to be between 10 and 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do the same warm up for everyone and everyone get the same benefit out of it.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
So there needs to be an individualized approach, which is where MoveWell comes in. If I'm treating an athlete or a patient that they have limited hip extension, right? Well, if they go to do a deadlift and all of their extensions come from the low back instead of their hip, that is going to be their problem. But that's not the class's problem. That's their problem. So that's where they need to come in early, do their 10-minute warm-up that is specific to them so they can almost be ready for the group warm-up. Because there's a big difference in age and tendencies. Like if you take the whole class and you're like, all right, guys, we're going to warm up with air squats, you're going to see very different squats right then than you would after getting a little bit more movement prep and maybe 20 minutes later. All right, guys, let's do 5 air squats. They're going to look extremely different, myself included. So
maybe this is a hot take that I'm about to say this. So maybe it's less the fault of the snatch or the fault of this exercise or fault of that exercise, where it's more fault of that individual.
Oh, yeah. There's no hot seat there. That's right. People just don't want to hear it.
I'm saying that to the listeners. I'm not saying to you guys. I'm saying it to the listeners. Because they always want to blame, you know what I mean? Oh, I hurt my shoulder doing XYZ, and so it's XYZ. And XYZ could be an exercise or it could be a type of sport, right? Yeah, whatever. But it's really... Yeah,
I saw a post yesterday that said, if you're over the age of 25, when's the last time you sprinted full speed?
Never.
There you go.
No, not never, but yeah.
But I mean, it's rare, right? Yeah. And so... it's no different in going full speed in here as it would be anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no bad exercise. Right. There's no bad movement.
Right.
It's your, I guess, it's your lack of conditioning of the joints and connective tissues around that joint. So you may not be able to tolerate that movement because, again, you have your arms out in front of your body 90% of your day, and then you're trying to catch and stabilize a snatch.
Yep.
Right. So that's where that supplemental routine comes into play that we can help you find. Right. That's what our expertise is, to analyze movement, to really get into the weeds of it and say, this is where you're deficient and this is what you need to work on so that you can keep doing these workouts for years to come. So there's never a bad movement. There's just bad preparation. And there's, you know, going beyond your, I guess, capacity, your tissue capacity, joint capacity. That's my hot take.
Yep. No, and I thought you were about to do the Dan John quote, which is there's no bad exercise, there's bad application of exercise.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
But just in way more words.
It's actually the Aaron Sherrill quote now.
Yeah, it's your new quote now, Aaron. Isn't that right, Kaylee?
Yeah. No, really, for real, props to the Wheelhouse members who, every time I come here, I see someone, at least one or two people doing their prep movements that they probably, I assume they learned from MoveWell or just PT or just being at Wheelhouse for a while. So it's really cool to see.
It's gotta be and I could even do a better job at it, but like a big intentional part of the culture is to celebrate that. It's to celebrate moving well, no pun, instead of just moving fast or moving heavy and making that become your wheelhouse, no pun.
Ooh.
Oh, or maybe there was pun in that.
Podcast over. Dropped. Let's end it right there.
Don't drop the mic, though. Don't drop the mic. Kaylee was like really.
Just headbutted.
Just headbutted, Kaylee. but that's exactly it. And so I think, and it all starts with them hearing us talk about it, seeing that we're trying to provide resources for them, trying to provide things like the movement screen for new members. To even having the accessibility of a team like you guys here on site. I mean, I think, I don't know how you are at the other gyms, but I feel like you are here a lot. I feel like 5 days a week, there's always one of you here.
I have a cot in the back.
And so that just makes it just super attainable, and just to see you guys working out too and being a part of it too. So when it comes to the movement diet that you're having them do, is there oftentimes, like, come see me so I can help you understand that. And then it gets to the point where they can kind of self-diet themselves. Is that?
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
Just like with anything, just like with your normal diet, some people need more accountability. They're like, look, I'm not going to think about doing this. And they know that about themselves.
And they know that, yeah.
So that self-awareness, I think, is huge. And that's something I talk to my clients a lot about. It's just know kind of your tendencies. Know how much you need to warm up. Mm-hmm. Me personally, if you put, like, well, Dakota's not a good example because he has to warm up a long time too. But yep. I'm not old, right? So age isn't a big thing. But even at 32, I have to warm up a lot.
Mm-hmm. 1 minute.
Because I've put a lot of mileage on my knees in 32 years. So just knowing that about myself, I know I need to give myself that extra 10 minutes of warm up.
I usually warm up in the 4:30 class and then work out in the 5:30 class because it takes me an hour to warm up.
Hey, it's 1 minute per year.
And that goes back to what Dakota was saying. Like, everyone's going to respond to the warm up and movement prep a little differently.
Sure.
So coming up with your supplemental routine, your customized routine for you is crucial. But you can't do that unless you know what that looks like.
Yeah.
And what deficiencies you have.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't just look at a YouTube video. You know, there's all those videos out there, which we've done some of them, just general, like, you know, four stretches to do if you have
sure
back pain at your desk.
Yep.
Right. But those are just to give, you know, a brief, you know, 30,000 mile overview of things that you can do. But in terms of longevity, you need to get a little more specific than that and really just know yourself and have that body awareness.
Yeah. How do you guys respond to this? The, hey coach, I hurt XYZ. I was like, okay, so what'd you do about it? Like, I just rested it for 2-3 weeks and now I'm back. Like, and I hurt it again today. and what seriously, as professionals doing this, what do you think about that scenario? Because I often give the analogy. I said it's kind of like you're driving in your car and you're hearing something knock in your front right tire. You resting 3 weeks, it's like you parking your car for 3 weeks. You're not making more damage, but you're not fixing it either. Yeah.
Like, really good analogy.
You know what I mean? I was like, so that doesn't always fix the issue. So sometimes it does. Sometimes you need to rest and that's fine, but oftentimes it's not.
Yeah, I think people just associate the condition they're in with their symptoms, and everybody's symptom heavy. And that's something we've talked about a bunch. You know, we're not symptom managers. We're trying to actually make a lasting difference. Mm-hmm. So if you're just going by symptoms, of course, there's so many ways to alleviate or modulate those symptoms, mm-hmm. right? You can rest, right? And the symptoms are likely going to get better. Does that make you stronger, more functional, more resistant to injury? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. If anything, it deconditions you a little bit. Right. So it's not about, you know, the rest, the ice, the compression. There are times and places for all of those. But we need to get away from just this symptom centric approach to healthcare and say, okay, you know, let's shoot you up with this. Let's give you this medicine. You'll feel better. You're still not addressing the problem.
Sure.
You're ignoring the root cause. And now we're just masking it long enough for you to get back into your routine. So then you can likely just feel that again down
just
the road.
Because you never symptom. Addressed it, and, right? And rest is variable, right? So if I hurt my shoulder, my legs probably don't need to rest. I don't need to do legs every day, but I don't need to rest my legs. Like, blood flow tends to make injuries heal faster. So why would I just negate all exercise just because my shoulders hurt? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I have two shoulders. So I can still work out with the other arm. And 90% of the time, if your shoulder hurts with pressing, it's not going to hurt with pulling. So you can address these things. Like, you can rest a movement pattern. You can rest a joint. But I would argue that you should never rest a whole body, your entire body. Unless you have COVID and you're on the couch for 2 days, you need to walk on day three. Like, you need to get up, start with walking. Like, there's no real legitimate excuse to just shut down everything just because you have a injury.
Yeah, I love that point. And that's one of my favorite things we've been able to do, especially here at Wheelhouse. And you can attest to this, just members that have things going on and working with the coaches. How do we modify this to keep you in the gym?
Yeah.
So you get a similar stimulus and you have some direction to, I mean, to give you some peace of mind and just keep you in the community, keep you working out. And, you know, once those symptoms start to resolve and we allow the inflammation process to run its course a little bit, then we slowly reintroduce the, you know, yeah. the positions and the loading that caused the pain to begin with. That's, so I think that's a great point, is there's always something you can be doing.
That's okay. So before MoveWell was a thing, like before I met either of you guys, the scenario would be athlete has an injury, athlete goes through surgery, rehab, and then they get to a point where they're just sort of, maybe their insurance ran out, or maybe to the point where they don't need the babysitting as much or whatnot. They kind of know they have homework to do. Hey, you could do these at home, and here's your protocol, and do it. But then I would always tell them, come in, book yourself a spot in the class, come like you normally would at your regular class time, and do your homework on the turf, so that you still keep that connection with the community, connection with your routine. Because what would happen is they would have it, and they went completely on body rest, like you said, and they don't just have that accountability to go do it in the garage because yeah. their garage is sweltering or it's ice cold and they don't want to do it.
It turns into member retention as well.
Right, so, like, right. And so one of the guys, Robbie Melvin, was a guy who did exactly that, and he bounced back wonderfully. Like he had a, if I remember, it was a pec tear, I believe it was, had the surgery, was in a sling, and came in and did stuff with his other arm while his hand was in the sling. I have video of him doing wall sits and slides with his good hand while he's slung up, you know. So just, he said that was just able, the ability to not knock him completely off of his routine of just being consistent, make it a habit of registering for class, showing up.
Yeah. And yes. Yeah, and the membership retention thing, you know, on the surface, it's like, well, yeah, that's going to help the gym out, but that is literally the best thing for these our clients, mm-hmm. And our community in general, is to find a community that's going to hold you accountable. So that is like one of our main missions, is to keep people in their gym home and gym family, because yeah. long term, that is the best thing for your health. So, I mean, supplementing kind of what we do with a community and a culture like Wheelhouse has, I think that's the perfect recipe for longevity, which is what we're all going for. Fitness means nothing if it's just a fleeting thing. We're all going for longevity so we can be functional for years and years to come for our loved ones and, I mean, whatever you enjoy doing in life. So being a part of a gym and being in that community, I mean, if our main goal isn't to keep people in that community, we're wrong. And that's where I think a lot of healthcare is wrong, because that should be everyone's goal,
right.
is to put someone in an environment where other people are holding them accountable and they're doing all the right things so that they can be, you know, healthy, injury resistant, disease resistant for decades to come.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Last thing you want to hear or see is someone be told like, oh, you shouldn't go to the gym yet. Like, again, there's always something you can do. Like mm-hmm. If you had your appendix cut out, you could always come in and ride the bike.
Hey.
Or maybe start doing box jumps soon after that. I don't know. I know a guy.
Was that you?
No.
No.
So going back to the doctor discussion, doctors are very, very good at what they do. Whether it's, you know, an orthopedic surgeon that's yeah. really good at a handful of surgeries. But I have found over the years, I'm not afraid to say this on air, a lot of their recommendations and their advice is so damaging to people, because they're just looking at structure mm-hmm. and they're just trying to protect that structure, and they're not thinking about that person's long-term function or health. Mm. And maybe they are, but they're just looking at it in their scope,
in that lens,
and that lens of an orthopedic surgeon.
Yep.
Right. So I you know, the stuff I've heard, and maybe there's a game of telephone going on, but the stuff I've heard over the years is just, you know, you don't want to say, hey, don't listen to them, but you want to give them another perspective. It's like, look, I see where they're coming from, and structurally that, you know, that is correct. But this is what we think you should do. Maybe in conjunction with that, or what have you.
Or this piece isn't being addressed, and it should be. It actually should be a priority.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Well, what I think you brought this question earlier through here. What are there? Maybe we'll start with the really broad topic of sports before we get into specific exercises or specific patterns. But are there sports that you see that are more injurious than others? Was that what the question was you asked?
Yeah, CrossFit and weightlifting compared to other injuries, compared to other sports. There's plenty of studies that have been out for this. So people deem CrossFit as being this like injury central cesspool. And really the problem is that a lot of people do it. One, people of different age groups do it. And have you ever met somebody that does CrossFit that doesn't talk about CrossFit? Like, it spreads. Like, they talk about it, right? And so you're seeing it with more common it's more common amongst people that are aging. So your 30s, 40s, 50-year-olds, like, they want to stay in shape for their weekend hobbies. They want to stay in shape for golf. They'll pick up CrossFit. And if they tweak a shoulder, like, oh, that injury goes towards CrossFit. But if you look at hours trained in CrossFit, hours trained in weightlifting, it is significantly less injury prone than baseball, than football, than basketball, mm-hmm. than all of these other sports, like even golf. And so if you look at what would you consider an injury, like so an acute injury, you fell off the rings and land on your arm and you broke your arm. Like that happened at CrossFit, and that is an acute injury. Whereas you have a chronic injury where, hey, every time I do toes to bar, my right shoulder flares up for a week or so, that falls into more of that chronic issue. And that is where we come in as MoveWell, right? So let's address what may be limiting you, what may be the reason this is happening. Is it a volume issue? Is it an intensity issue? Is it a positional issue? Do you have a tear that is active? And we just need to go around that tear until it starts to become asymptomatic. And then we can progress from there. So it just, it doesn't always have to be injury-based. It can always be preventative, like we've talked about this whole time. But the biggest thing is just making sure that people are aware of how to address it and the risk that they are taking in joining a functional fitness gym and joining a CrossFit gym is not that high compared to other things.
Yeah.
You know what else kills a lot of people? It's heart disease.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And no one's talking about the most injurious sport activity out there.
What's that?
What do you think it is?
Probably.
This data is really old, by the way, because I'm old.
I don't know.
High injury.
High injury?
Very high injury percentage.
I would say DIYs.
A duel? Like jousting? In Old Western?
No.
Like 10 paces?
No. Cheerleading.
Cheerleading? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's fair.
A lot of injuries in cheerleading. Especially when you're like in college level where you're stunting and flying and throwing people. Sure. Man.
Fun fact, women's lacrosse has the highest rate of concussions.
Really?
And they don't wear helmets.
Well.
Because they don't want to make it too physical.
Wait.
Like you're already leading the world in concussions and you don't want more physicality? Give these kids a helmet.
That. No. Yeah.
Youth soccer.
Well, that and like, man, just your pickup basketball, your weekend warrior stuff. Gosh. The injuries from there. Just, yeah. I used to play ball. I'm going to go to the YMCA, just shoot some hoops, mid-40s, yeah. Done nothing since I'm, 20 years. I was like, okay.
I did that this summer. I played some pickup volleyball, some indoor volleyball out in Hoover.
Ooh.
First game. Wrecked. First game within like 3 minutes. I developed like some nasty tendonitis in my knee. I couldn't squat for 3 weeks.
Really?
Because I was just, that goes back to what we were saying. I hadn't done a gym sport like that where I'm sprinting, cutting, jumping.
Right.
And that kind of full circle, there's really no bad activity or exercise. It's just poor application and you're just not ready or not conditioned for that activity.
Yeah.
And the knock I will give to CrossFit is that it does give people a false sense I still got it. You don't still got it. Those knees checked out a little while ago. So we had a charity flag football tournament for just CrossFit gyms in Montgomery. And these people were dropping like flies because like they're all in shape. They can go straight really good, but you give them one head fake and their ankles are on one bench and their wrists are on the other. Like it is, it was atrocious. It was so bad.
And when he says you can go straight really well, and that's kind of my knock on it is such how everything is so sagittal plane.
Well, and the keep your power development. you keep that strength, you keep your power output. The problem is that a lot of times it doesn't. You're not taught to use it and to land.
Yeah.
Running is just landing over and over again.
Sure.
Changing directions is landing. Like if you don't ever practice landing, you're not going to do it at full speed.
Do it really well.
Trust me.
It's going to own you.
Yeah, I love the overall theory of CrossFit, like being pretty good at everything.
Sure.
You're pretty strong. Yeah, your endurance is pretty good. Like everything is good enough, but there are gaps, just like there are gaps in any program.
To your point,
that is my biggest beef with CrossFit. Rotation,
lack of, side of the plane.
Frontal plane, side to side.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're doing a lateral burpee, like barber or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that may be the
only, about it.
Yes, and that's it. So with that being said, CrossFit's fine, but you need to be supplementing that because you're going to develop imbalances. Those lateral hips probably be pretty weak. Shoulder rotators, you know, going to make you more susceptible to injury there. So there's other things that you can be doing.
And I'll add this. The average Jane or Joe who is just heavy CrossFitter, right, they have heroes that are your Matt Frazier's of the world that are professional CrossFitters. I bet you your Matt Frazier's of the world are doing the asymmetrical loading stuff, are doing the rotational stuff. You just don't see it. Right. And because you don't see it, they don't connect the dots that that's needed. So they just go squat, press, hinge, squat, press, everything sagittal. And then whenever we like introduce that to them, it's kind of like, oh, you are gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is like, it's like when I start using that mace to rotate your shoulders, it's like, are we gimmicky? Are we like ahead of the curve to try to like show you that there's more than just one plane to move into?
Just take a field trip. Yeah. Just do just a field.
I love a good mace.
Yeah.
But that's a great point. Like the elite ones are
doing that.
They're doing everything. Right. And that goes back to that body awareness. They're aware of their deficiencies and they're working overtime. It's a full time job.
And they have to do that. Yeah, they're training two, three times a day.
They're not working a 40-hour job like you are. Mm-mm. So they have all this extra time to do the supplemental work.
Right.
So that they can be elite. So comparing yourself to those elite CrossFitters and doing, you know, just the CrossFit programming alongside your 8-to-5 job, it's not sustainable. So you have to be doing those extra things.
Right, right. But it's not sexy to program a kettlebell bent press because you can't do it for time. You can't do it fast. You can't, you know, so
exactly.
I get it. Okay. So let's say help us understand the process of this movement screen, right? So that's something that's very valuable that we offer here. Anyone new to Wheelhouse, they all have the ability to connect with you guys and do a complimentary son of a bitch. All right, so they gonna get hooked up with talking to y'all and we gonna not charge them. All right, so it's a movement screen that you guys provide for them. Tell them a little bit about that process, right? Because I think we as staff coaches could do a better job helping sell that and really help them understand what that is. What are they getting into? Is it, I don't nowhere in there what I think anyone would hear that and be intimidated or afraid, but I don't know. I'm not your average consumer. So let's talk about that.
Well, yeah, it starts with us. If the coaches aren't going to be able to talk about it, we have to educate them on it.
Yeah.
Like we have to teach them the components of it and why we look at the things that we look at. So really what we're doing is we're looking at foundational movement patterns, right? So your squat, your hinge, primarily, right? We get into a lunge pattern and single leg stuff a little bit, but really a lot of what you do out in the gym is some variation of a squat, hinge, lunge, step up, right?
Yep.
So what we do is we just screen these movements and we compare right to left because a big injury risk is when there's a large imbalance or discrepancy from your right side to your left side.
Sure.
Because unconsciously, you're going to start shifting under load, whether that's shoulders or that's hips or knees or ankles, right? So what we look at, and it's a quick 10-minute screen, doesn't take long. But we look at the overhead squat position, not because we think everyone should be training heavy overhead squat, but it looks at
it shows you a lot of things.
The entire body as a unit from head to toe, right? So what does that limitation in your mid-back do to your shoulders overhead or shifting into your feet? So we're able to look at all these things at the same time with a pattern like that. So it's a forward fold into overhead squat. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a lot of things from posterior line mobility, so mobility down the back of your legs, to hip mobility, shoulder mobility, T-spine mobility. So in that one movement, we can tell you a lot about where you're deficient or maybe explain why you're feeling some of the things that you're feeling.
Right? Cool.
So we kind of move through it, and it's a battery of five tests, mm-hmm. and then we go into a single leg hinge. So mm-hmm. your hinge is like your deadlift or your bent over row, right? But we look at single leg to single leg, one, because single leg stability is a big prognostic factor with function long term. Like, can you balance on one leg, right? So we look left to right. No, you cannot.
So you look left to right.
Yeah, you compare left to right, both in terms of stability and mobility in that single leg hinge position. And that's going to maybe explain some of that one-sided low back pain that people often get. Like, I just, you know, I hear that all the time. Like, just that right lower back, it just never really loosens up. Mm-hmm. And if it does, it's only for a few days and it comes right back. Mm-hmm. So some of these things can explain, some of these foundational patterns can explain those lingering things that just keep coming back. So other than that, we have our core stability push-up, which is kind of a play off the FMS, which yep. is looking at that core strength and upper body strength in unison. Mm-hmm. So can you maintain that rigid midline while you push yourself up off the ground? A lot of people cannot.
The push-up when done correctly is a very...
It's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
It can be tough. And then we look at a single leg box squat, again, comparing left to right. What is your proximal control like? And proximal means kind of close to the joint, right? So we're looking at that lumbopelvic control and that hip control. So when you're balancing on one leg, what does that pelvis do? What kind of control do you have of your knee in that rotational plane?
Right? Of all the tests y'all do you have favorites that you just like?
My favorite is just the comments people make after the overhead squat.
Like,
I can't do it, but the problem is that I have to demonstrate it. So I'm like, hey, what I want you to do is keep your toes straight ahead. I'm going to turn my feet out. But I need you to keep your
Do you allow ahead. Them a heel lift?
No, I don't allow anything.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm sure you're familiar with the FMS over the squat.
Yep.
So if they can't do it with feet flat, you put something underneath their heels, right, to buy them some what I call real estate at the ankle.
Exactly.
So you can get to the bottom of that motion.
That's right.
If it's a quick fold, if you see any quick fold of any position, if you remove it from the equation, usually you can assess everything else a little better.
Yeah.
Like if they're standing tall and they just can't get their hands over their head, they're not going to do an overhead squat either.
No.
So let's just do a front squat. Let's just put our arms out in front and see what we can look at.
Yeah. So just to save time, we don't do the heel lift because the sequence that we look at that movement, the forward fold into the deep squat and then arms overhead, we're kind of teasing out, okay, is it ankle? Is it hip? Is it T-spine? Is it shoulder?
Yeah.
So in that order. So that's the way we do it that way. That's best bang for your buck. You just, it's one and done and you move on instead of, you know, testing it a few times. Okay, now let's try with the heel lift. And now we're 6 minutes into it, right?
Yep.
So with let's be honest, when you're conducting a free screen, you want it to be as efficient as possible
and
get the most information as possible. So we keep it pretty, pretty efficient, keeping it to five tests, and we roll through it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then we kind of give you a synopsis at the end of it. Okay, based on what we saw, these are our main, not necessarily concerns, but these need to be your focuses going forward in your supplemental routine.
Yeah.
Right. If we see something glaringly obvious in terms of impairment or, you know, abnormal movement, then that's where our treatment comes in. Right. So there's a lot of things that we can do from dry needling to cupping to joint mobilization to, I mean, you name it, things that we can do with manual therapy to address some dysfunction and then again guide you into, you know, a supplemental exercise progression to get you to where you need to be.
Love it. Overhead squat for you. How about you, Kay?
Anything single leg, because I feel like it shows a lot of, it can show a lot of asymmetry, but also it helps the client feel the difference too, if there's an asymmetry from side to side. I just really like looking at right versus left.
Yeah, and obviously we're imperfect beings, and generally if you played a sport, it's probably one side dominant, or you're like right arm dominant, or
yeah, I tore up my ankle back in my soccer days and had surgery in my that side. I never really rehabbed great, so my balance is affected on that surgery side. So I just it helps me to have that experience, because I can talk about how I'm working on that still, and when I work on it and I get that side stronger, like the glutes and the ankle, and work on balance, I am just better all over. So just using that experience to talk to them about what I'm seeing and how I could help, and how I could educate them on how to feel better in the gym, that kind of stuff.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. Okay, so what are some, I guess, last take-home pieces of advice, being in the position you guys are in? Maybe they're a friction point that you're running into that you want just the average listener to understand.
Yeah. I think the big thing is what we talked about with your daily movement diet.
Yeah.
Is recognizing, okay, what does my daily routine look like? Am I spending way too much time in one position? I think that alone, if you can consistently make some changes to how you hold your body throughout the day, it can make all the difference. And especially in, you know, I would say a good chunk of our clientele kind of fall in the 40s, 50s, 60s range. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see kind of all over,
right.
But especially with them, they're still working. You need a little bit of help, anything you can get, right? So if we can break up positions throughout the day and implement different body positions, stand and split stands for part of the day, right? Just get your body in different positions. Every time you walk through the doorway, just hold a 15-second pec stretch. Maybe that's overkill, but yeah, little strategies like that, right? You never get anything done if you're in and out of the room. But what I'm trying to get at is just be aware of the rest of your day, right?
Right.
Workout aside,
yeah.
What about the other 90% of your lifetime in addressing it, in being aware of that?
I think kind of being at Wheelhouse as a coach and as a therapist, like I'm here a lot. But I'm also here to be, like you said, the point person for your healthcare, right? So if something comes up, please let me know. You know, that's the biggest thing. The last thing I want to know, or the last thing I want to hear is like, oh, hey, I just got my MRI back from my doctor. He told me to rest, and I probably should get a hip replacement next month. I'm like, well, that was...
You're like, I never knew about
your
this.
Hip was even hurting you, and right. Now you're getting a new one. That's nice. But let's talk about the steps for that. Also, and not just... our setting, but all settings. Like, you can always seek a second opinion. If you don't like what I say, that's fine. If you don't like what your doctor says, that's fine. Just make sure you seek a second opinion if you do not like the direction something is headed. And don't let the catchphrases and the fear-mongering get you with the worst I've ever seen. You're not the worst they've ever seen. They've seen car wrecks that have taken someone's leg away from them. You are not the worst hip they've ever seen.
I have theories about them saying that. And they may be a little, they may ruffle feathers. But by saying that, they basically...
They insure a surgery.
They insure a surgery. Yeah. And then after the surgery, like, you know, your recovery is not going as planned. Because remember how bad it was.
Yeah. Ooh,
like,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because it's the worst I've ever seen. It's going to take you a little bit longer. Right. It just kind of covers, covers their butt a little.
Which also brings in prehab, which is a different subject.
But all that to say, maybe that's not the case for everyone that says it. It should never be said.
Yeah.
Because of what that does to that person mentally.
It crushes them.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I would say, I think some of our biggest goals are to help, like, provide convenience, right, with our services. And so I would say just don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, you pretty much already said this, Dakota, but when people come to me, you know, fear is scary, and they're scared to move, and they're scared of what the prognosis is. What does this mean for my workouts? Like, will I ever deadlift again? So just talk to one of us, grab us. Like, we love to do this. And even if we can just give one tip or, like, one conversation that helps with the fear a little bit, or like one exercise to calm the pain until we can get an appointment or get you to the right person, like just ask. So, and we have,
Awesome. People are very hesitant to show their cards and show you what they don't know. And it's like they think they're going to be judged on it. And I get it every day as a coach. You know, it's like, tell me about your fitness experience. Oh, I've worked out my whole life. You know, I just need routine and community. I'm like, okay, great. Awesome. Then you come in and like they don't know how to work out. It would, and that's fine. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely okay to hey, this hurts and I don't know what to do. I mean, people coming up to me, I wore an ATC hat years ago. So there'll be things that I still remember, but there's things I've forgotten much more than I remember. So I have to go to Dakota and say, hey, well, I got this. What's going on? You know, it's right. I just haven't worn that hat in so long. Yeah. So hopefully this is like an environment where it goes in concert with the culture of the gym. It's very inclusive. It's very like, dude, we're here to be a village, be a tribe, to help one another regardless of where you are. We're going to meet you where you're at, whether it's strength gains that you're trying to make or pain management that you're trying to make or recovery that you're trying to make. We're man, and we can't do it. We all have to. No one in this room knows everything, and so no one in this community knows everything. Yeah. But we can move a lot better and move the needle forward if we all can get together and do that, which is part of the reason why we're creating that directory, which I'm excited about.
Very excited
about. I got another quick question for you guys. Social media, helpful or hurtful when it comes to exercise?
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it depends on how it's
promoted. Both is probably a great option.
It depends who you follow.
True. Sure.
And how many eggs you put in that basket. Yeah. Why? There's a lot of people that can look the part, and you know, some of the stuff they say may have some truth to it.
Yep. Liver King.
Liver King.
Anyone that goes absolute on something, whether it's a supplement, an extremist, a supplement, a type of exercise, you know, chances are you should take that with a grain of salt. You can consider it, but you need to look at a lot of different opinions, a lot of different sites. Right. I mean, just kind of formulate your own opinion. People just pour into like one personality, one fitness personality, and just go off of what they say. And there's little nuggets of truth with most of these accounts.
Sure. Yeah.
So the good part is there's endless resources, right? You can always find stuff. But then again, going back, not everyone's the same. So what worked for that person, whether it be strength building or, you know, rehab, it's probably might not work for you, right? It might, but it might not. Yeah. So finding someone you can actually talk to that's going to be, you know, give you 15 minutes of their time and say, okay, what are you going through? And take your history, you know, like Kaylee said, and she hit the nail on the head. That's what we're here for, just to be that resource. And don't feel like every time you come talk to us, we're going to try to sell you on something. We truly want to help people and keep them healthy. So come and talk to us, even if it's just, you know, something little. There's nothing too little to bring to our attention.
Yeah.
I think the video or the social media influencing is like, why are they posting it? Is it just for clickbaits or is it actually for foundational knowledge? I'm a huge fan of foundational movements and variations of foundational movements. So squats, pulls, presses, like we talked about earlier. I had to unfollow ESPN entirely because they kept posting these wild workout videos. Like the guy doing muscle ups, like holding a squat rack.
I thought, on what
planet? Why are we doing this?
I thought you were going to say, what's that guy's name? Seidman?
Joel Seidman?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a whole other
topic. That's a whole other topic.
Next podcast.
But him, you know, your Joel Seidmans, your Liver Kings of the world. And someone who doesn't know what they're looking at, they could say, oh, well.
Well, they're working with professional athletes.
Right.
So they must know what to do.
Right. Nah, and categorize what they say as the same as what, you know, Squat University guy is saying. Or, you know, that's what I mean. Like, even someone being in the industry and just seeing it, you see fitness influencers with fantastic genetics, right? And they don't really connect the dots on expressing that part. And so someone who has a lot of experience and knowledge who doesn't have the genetics, you know, per se, that doesn't make them less credible either.
Right. Yeah. Right?
They probably know more because they had to work harder.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then I had one other question for you guys when it comes to types of modalities. I know the modalities are forever changing, probably things I did in the ATC room and not things that you guys did now. But, like, for example, back then we didn't really do any of the dry needling. You know, where do you see – oh, and also I hear about how back in the day it used to be rest, ice, compress, elevate, and then now it's sort of like maybe you don't rest, ice, compress, elevate. So where do you guys see – is there a trend? Is there always new studies coming out? What is effective now when it comes to treating?
Yeah, I think that's
a loaded question.
we probably need another 30 minutes to talk about that. So I hate to squeeze it in like a minute. But that goes back to what I was just saying. Like, there's no one modality that's the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. You can incorporate different things at different times, and they can be effective. And they may not even be effective every time. Like, if you get dry needling...
And maybe that's the message.
Yeah.
That there isn't one...
Exactly.
Be all, end all, be all.
Exactly. Now, there are certain guidelines that, you know, things have changed. A lot of people have demonized ice lately. You know, it actually slows down recovery. And,
yeah.
You know, I still like ice in certain instances, right? But I think people just like to talk in absolutes, and it's never that case. So talk to somebody about your situation. Hey, is this modality good for me, or does it need to be something else? Just like dry needling is not always the case. It can be extremely effective for some issues, but it may do absolutely nothing except make another person sore. Right. So it needs to be applied in the right way. Modalities just have to be applied in the right way at the right time. And you need a little bit of insight
just
from
like
that
exercise.
Instead of just kind of painting a broad brush and saying, okay, no more ice. Yeah. Or just compress, or you know.
Yeah, because cold plunge is an awesome thumbs up for everybody. You should do it 11 minutes a week, but then don't ice. And it's like, hold on, that's confusing. Yeah.
You can find a study to support any side
sure,
of any argument.
Sure.
But I'd say 99% of the time, active modalities are king. So getting the patient, getting the athlete to move and do it themselves is king. Mm-hmm. Getting them to that point is where you run into that murky water. Like, is dry needling helpful? Is ice, heat, all what helps them get back to their activity is ultimately the best modality for them. And that could be literally anything.
And that takes time, direction, a game plan, and relationships with providers like you guys to be able to lead them through that road, because it's not always the answer at first. Maybe it's the second or third thing you try. Yep. Well, fantastic, guys. I'm going to wrap this up because I promised these guys about an hour, and here we are at 1:02. As you can tell, we could have talked for quite a while about so many topics that came up. But till next time, we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the training.